Speaking on this program is Doris Hughes.
When you're through with sin, you know, sin is a stark, it's a very big, vicious reality. To deny the existence of sin is, well, it's to deny the authority of the Bible. 1 John 3 and 4 says that sin is transgression of the law. In 1 John 5 and 17, it says that all unrighteousness is sin. In Romans, the 14th chapter and verse 23, Paul says that whatever is not of faith is sin. In James 4 and verse 17, James says, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, truth about sin, which should be seriously considered by every human being, is that sin isn't through with us when we're through with it. It's one thing to be forgiven of sin, but it's another thing to bear the consequences of sin. You see how that sin, it leaves its shame. It leaves its pain. Sin leaves its stain. Now, just how many times has somebody not only been shamed and been pained, and also they've been stained by sin? Sin, it's something that mocks us. It masters us. It's something that marks us. So sin isn't always through with us when we're through with it. Let's look at some biblical illustrations. Now you go back to the very beginning of Adam and Eve for sin in the Garden of Eden. Now because of that sin, women experience great pain in childbirth. That every time that a woman goes through the terrible pains, that those pains that they do, we realize that Adam and Eve's sin still isn't through with us. You just think now what a mighty influence that particular sin has had. Romans the 5th chapter and verse 12, it says that one man brought sin and death into the world. You know, every time that we bury a loved one, we clearly see that the sin of Adam and Eve, that is something that is still affecting the human race, isn't it? You consider then Abraham and Sarah's, those biblical characters. Now, even after they were through with sin, sin wasn't through with them, or the generations which followed them. Remember how that God had promised Abraham and Sarah a son. Sarah was 90 years of age at this time. Abraham was nearly 100 years of age. They were past the age of having children. Now Sarah wanted to see that she wanted to help the Lord out by delivering her own plan. Being impatient and not having enough faith really to begin there. She suggested that Abraham have a child by her handmaid Hagar. Now, as a result, in there that was Ishmael was born. And through Ishmael, then the Ishmaelites, they came into the world. Now, since the birth of Ishmael, the world, if you'll read your newspaper, you hear the newscasts, the world has often witnessed strife between the descendants of Isaac and the descendants of Ishmael. The sin of Abraham and Sarah still affects our world today, doesn't it? Look at the story of Lot and his two daughters in the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter. Now, as they were leaving Sodom, remember that Lot's wife perished when she looked back. And then later, the daughters said to one another, We have no man. Let's make our father drunk. Let's each have a child by him. Now the older daughter's son was the father of the Moabites. The Moabites have been the enemies of the Israelites throughout their history. The younger daughter bore a son, and through him came the Ammonites. In the book of Judges, the third chapter, in verses 28 and 29, Israel had a battle to do with the children of Moab. In 1 Samuel, the 14th chapter, in verse 47, Saul had to fight both the Moabites and the Ammonites. You see, the sin of Lot's daughters plagued Israel for many, many years. Now, what about Saul of Tarsus? Ignorantly, in unbelief, he persecuted the church. That's the scripture of 1 Timothy 1 and verse 13. Now, here was a man that was very, very sincere. Yet we find that he made havoc of the church. In other words, he wasted God's people. Now, despite all of this, he was completely forgiven when he obeyed the Lord, as we find in Acts, the 22nd chapter and verse 16. Now, even the sin of consenting unto the death of the great martyr Stephen was forgiven Paul. But a torturing memory, it seems, of his sins stayed with Paul all of his life. Paul could quite never erase the memory. Though he had received mercy, here was a man who received mercy, he referred to himself one time as the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15. It seems that all should have been forgotten. But you know, some memories, they're almost difficult to forget, aren't they? Now, what about Jacob and his mother? You know, I can't imagine a mother participating with her son in the deception of her own husband. Perhaps she planned it, but Jacob was also greatly responsible for the deed. They deceived Isaac, and they stole a blessing. And Jacob was one that lived to regret his deed. Because of this sin, he lived in mortal fear of Esau. Sin wasn't through with him when he was through with sin. You've heard the old saying that things come back home to you, haven't you? You see, deeds have a way of coming back to us, either good or bad. You know what a boomerang is? You throw it and it comes back to you. They boomerang. What you give to the world is oftentimes it's what you get back from the world. You know, it isn't any wonder that Jacob's children deceived him regarding the death of his son Joseph. I'm sure that we all remember Joseph's brethren, the biblical account. In Genesis, the 37th chapter and the 2nd verse, it says that Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold by his brothers into slavery. They'd even thought about killing him. But later they decided to sell him for profit. Sold him for 20 pieces of silver, if you recall. Now, when Joseph stood before Pharaoh in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter and verses 4 through 6, he was 30 years old. 13 years had passed. That sin was still affecting Joseph's brethren. Perhaps those brothers had died 1,000 deaths. On one occasion, they began to talk among themselves and say, "Is it because that we did that deed in Genesis, the 42nd chapter and verse 21? Or when we read the 43rd, the 44th, and the 50th chapters of Genesis, we see how that their consciences seem to have smitten them a thousand times. You know, when some evil befell them, no doubt they wondered if God wasn't punishing them for what they'd done all those years in the past. But you know, perhaps God wasn't punishing them. But instead, their sin, even though it was committed a long time ago, it was something that was haunting them, something that was hounding them. And then as we think of David and Bathsheba, his sin with this woman. In Psalms 51, it's probably one of the greatest prayers of forgiveness that's to be found in the entirety of the Bible. One of the greatest confessions of sin that I've ever read. David here, he didn't mince words up, so to speak. David had sinned, and he confessed the sin. He confessed the sin of murder. He confessed the sin of adultery. Now, even though that David had been forgiven and all was well, he couldn't get those sins off of his mind. Remember that he had been responsible for the death of Uriah. He lied. He betrayed the confidence of many people. He marred the dignity of the office, the high position that he held. He had dragged the name of the Lord in the dust, using those words and that phrase. And there are memories that won't go away sometimes. We can't just say, go away, and these members will leave and never come back. Remember how that David had, well, he neglected his son Absalom. He was a man that was too busy, just so busy. Too busy with the affairs of state. He was too busy with business. Too busy for 1,001 reasons. So many important matters, as one might say. It could have been that on occasions that, let's just say that his little boy Absalom had a broken toy and that little toy needed to be repaired. Later, when the boy had a broken heart, he didn't go to David for help. He went to somebody else. The sin, you see, the sin of neglect had ruined this boy, this son, Absalom. Now let me say here in this part of the lesson, let me bring out a biblical fact. We don't want to mislead anyone. If a father or a mother sins, this doesn't necessarily mean that the sons or the daughters of a father and mother will likewise sin and have to answer for those parents' sin. Or vice versa. Even back in the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 18th chapter and 20th verse, the Bible tells us that the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. But what we're talking about is that many times a chain of the example of a father or of a mother, that example is followed in the years ahead. In other words, when we are through with sin, sin may not be through with us. You know, the man Solomon is an unforgettable example of the effects of sin. As we read of Solomon, he was a man that had a very abnormal interest in women. Now, if you read of his account in his life, you think of all the women in his life. And here was a man that had everything that money could possibly buy. Perhaps no one has ever been more wealthier than the man Solomon was. He had just about anything that any human being could possibly want. He tried women and wine and song, so to speak. Finally, the wicked women led him into idolatry. Now, you read about this in 1 Kings, the 10th and the 11th chapters. Now, Solomon's idolatry contributed to, if you remember, to the division of his kingdom. Then the division of the kingdom had its effect on all the future generation of the Jews. Now, you think of all the harm that was done, even after Solomon finally decided that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. As he said in Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter, and verse 11. Now Solomon saw that there was nothing under the sun, but something beyond the sun. Something beyond the sun that could really bring joy. Something beyond the sun that could bring peace and happiness and real, true satisfaction. Think of the harm done after he had come to the conclusion and he said, "Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man," in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and verse 13. You see, even after Solomon was through with sin, all of his sinning, sin wasn't through with him, was it? It still left its stain as well as its shame. And there was also the pain. It marked as well as it mastered and as well as it mocked him. Now let's look at some contemporary applications as well. Now in our modern world today, the use of drugs has become a monster of a problem. Many of our young people and our older people as well are being ruined by this work of sin. You just think how many times that minds of people have been distorted. How many times have bodies been broken? How many times has a man or a woman's health been ruined with the use of drugs, with dope? How many times has a person been left a victim even after he gave up the use of drugs and dope and confessed the sin? No strong drink falls into the same place as drugs. I've known people that were good people who were respected and they had good family relations. But they've gone to the bottom of the gutter. Maybe they just started out with maybe a drink or two. You know, I can testify that Solomon's right when he said that wine is a mocker, which we find in Proverbs, the 20th chapter and verse 1. Think of all the harm that has been done to families. Think of the hearts that have been left bleeding. Men have deserted their families and they've gone after other women. Many children have gone hungry and without the necessities of life. Homes have been broken up. Businesses have gone to nothing. And even after a person has decided to make a change, in other words, to break with it all, sin isn't through with that person. You think of the neglect on the part of parents many times. How many fathers have been so busy, as they would say, be saying, earning bread for their children, that it didn't dawn upon them that those children could not live by bread alone? And it's just as true, of course, with mothers as well. How many were just too busy to spend any time with those little ones? How many are too busy and really neglect their children? And when maybe a person, a father, realized his mistake, it was too late. Maybe he repented of the sin, and maybe he was forgiven of the sin. But the effects of the sin will linger for years to come. So sin isn't through with us when we're really through with sin, is it? Just how many times have men and women that they've been mingled in sin and maybe they were scarred for life? How many times have they regretted their sins? Even after they had changed and, as we would say, they turned over a new leaf, there was those haunting memories, those stains. Now, it didn't mean that they was not forgiven. It didn't mean that the guilt had been lifted. But sin has its way of leaving a lasting effect. In 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in the 11th verse, the Bible says that fleshly lust war against the soul. Just how many times has a man's soul been defeated by fleshly lust? Again, think of the broken homes. Have you ever thought of how many people are affected every time that a judge says divorce granted? Have you ever thought of the lasting effect of that? It isn't always a change of partners that's needed, but instead it's a change in partners that's needed. What about lying? What about cheating? What about hypocrisy? Oh, so many sins could be mentioned. Let me give you some practical exhortations, I guess we could call them. Now, you know, a person can be forgiven. Guilt can be removed. All can be erased. The Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In 1 John, the 1st chapter, in the 9th verse. Now, but being forgiven, it doesn't mean that I won't have to bear some of the consequences of sin. It doesn't mean that I won't have a scar that will last for years to come. You know, it's easier for God to forgive us than it is for us to forgive ourselves, isn't it? Sometimes men and women just cannot seem to forgive themselves. Sometimes a person will ask, will God forgive me of my sins and I have so many? And we tell them, sure He will. He's promised that He will. But that fact doesn't mean that they won't have to maybe bear some bitter fruit. It doesn't mean that they won't have something left to remind them. How many people have committed deeds while intoxicated, deeds which then were regretted for the rest of their lives? How many times and somebody maybe in a, what we would say, a fit of temper, and said something that they later wished that they could just erase it and that it never happened? And while that person has been forgiven and all is well with the Lord, something cannot seem to just make right, things right again. Now, Paul says that the wages of sin is death, in Romans 6 and verse 23. He also said, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, in Galatians 6 and verse 7. But suppose that a person obeys the gospel. Suppose that this person becomes a Christian. That doesn't necessarily mean he won't have to face the consequences of his sins. What if a young man or a young woman, they live an immoral life, and they catch a venereal disease of some sort, and it does harm to their body, and later they have children, and harm is done to those children as well because of that sin? I can think of so many terrible deeds that have been done which left some bitter effects that no man or power could seem to erase after there had been a change. You know, for some reason, people have a hard time understanding that sin has a lasting effect upon us. They can't understand why all of a sudden they can't be in good health, though their health was perhaps, it was broken by sin. They can't understand why all of a sudden that God just doesn't perform some great miracle and just make everything new again. Now, God can forgive, but He cannot remove some of the consequences of sin because of a free moral agency and the nature of sinning. You know, the best advice that I can give to anyone is from the Word of God, and that is, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. As we close the lesson this evening, as we extend the invitation of Christ, I hope from this lesson and as you read your Bibles, maybe all become aware of all that the sin, what sin can do to our minds, what it can do to our souls and to our bodies and to our outlook for the years ahead. Let's every one of us be aware of the real effects of sin and always regard it as an enemy to you. Sin in any form is a real enemy. Remember that. Sin in any form is a real enemy. But let's not give up. Remember John's words. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father in 1 John 2 and verse 1. You know, that's a great consolation, isn't it? If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Even though some bitter effects still exist, even though that there'll be some scars that might remain, even though that some memories just can't possibly be erased, there's a great consolation into the fact that we can be forgiven, that we can go to heaven. If the sin of crucifying Christ could be forgiven, then the sins that you have, they can be forgiven as well. If you've not obeyed the gospel, you're living the life of a sinner. But you know, our thanks to God, He stands ready and willing to forgive us. His plan to redeem man is given to us in His Word, in the Bible. By the steps of believing, repenting of sins, confessing the name of Christ, being baptized for the remission of our sins, God will add you to the church. God will save you. Are you one? Have you been unfaithful? Now you know whether or not that you've been unfaithful. If there are sins that you have committed after becoming a Christian that have been publicly made, God will forgive you those sins. He will restore you to the fold of the faithful. You know, the Bible still tells us to confess our faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Luke 15:7. Joy is in heaven over one sinner that repenteth.